consciousness thing, and I can work on the basis of the flight, the flight by flight, and then the team there will join us. Let me thank you, Sir, for the opportunity. I apologize for the time. I will seek to deal with the critical issues in terms of discrimination. As a concept by the committee, and then perhaps we'll then have an opportunity for interaction, and that would be part of the area where we deal with some of the substance issues at that stage. My flight is going to my flight is going to take the form of we'll discuss the accelerating delivery. The implications of which was a need for Tunisia then to relocate, to look at its own programs and define itself in terms of that particular mandate, in terms of the way NENA Initiative develops its programs. One of the issues was to relook at its structure, which has been a process within Tunisia. Look at what transitional arrangements could be done to begin to record in order to look forward. This is happening in a context of further work that is happening in general in the department with respect to looking at the institutions. I think various scenarios were looked at within the department about what we do with the institutions. But the mandate that was given to Malaysia then was to be implemented, obviously, in a phased manner, balancing and recognizing that the issues of capability and resource and the resource envelope. And also provided for us to allow Malaysia to develop an appropriate model for delivery of the new mandate. I think recognition is that subsequent, as we were doing these reviews, we then realized that part of the contributing factors to some of the issues around speed of delivery related to the objectives that we will be coming back to the portfolio committee, the particular stage that relates to the establishment of operations, deal with issues of land release, etc., etc. As you deal with the issue of implementing the program and project through a series of organs. In the current year, I think quite a lot of the work has been done, and I think it's reflected in the business plan or corporate plan that we are discussing with the institution that is budgeted for this year, as well as the one that we are looking for 2008. The mandate covers the institution's contribution to deliver, particularly to the important program of dealing with informal settlement. It's dealing with some of the large-scale projects, the family in Southend, where they are participating in Cape Town, and the Western Cape from Mpumalanga and Northwest. And I think I also must mention that to the extent that even the projects that have been highlighted as the pilot projects and to Zanemkula, to the extent that those projects also include this program as part of the delivery mechanism to Malaysia, what has been conducted to deal with some of those. And blocking of housing projects, quite a lot of fun. I'm just highlighting those areas where they, according to the reports, we have higher visibility, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and Northern Cape. And I think they have proceeded as well. The other part of this mandate included the fast tracking of housing solutions for people living in areas of stress. As a specific program that deals with that is implemented within the emergency housing policy And then lastly, to act as a lead developer of the Mental Health Network project and as I indicated, I've alluded to the two and to Gateway, the Nembula in the Nelson Mandela Metro. So the board structure of Tuledisha currently is comprised of the persons that are included there. The board is determined with the strategic direction of the in fact, itself, if I were to summarize all of the functions that are required in terms of the BFMA for accounting authorities. So it's a normal board that does look at the strategic direction, policy maker for the functioning of the institution, and then that deals with accounting for the performance of the institution. The key, and some of the key challenges I think that we're looking at for the institutions will include the following issues. Financial resources, which I think at this critical stage of the transition stage are very challenging. As we look at the manner in which Tuledisha is remodeling itself to deliver on this. Scarcity and competition for critical scarce resources. In quite a lot of competition that the institution is experiencing with regards to getting the scarce skills, competing with some of the government's major capital projects and the booming construction industry at large. I think the implication of this is that where you identify or through the recruitment process, you then hone in on some of those skills. The scarcity itself, if you use the economic the definitions, mean that they would be expensive, you would have to acquire them at a premium. I think some of the critical issues is the limiting impact of the corporate form that NDC is, and that is a historical thing. The Section 313 has set the particular limitations with respect to some of the things. And I think it has used, that experience is, has been largely utilized in the manner in which we are structuring the development agency that is to be formed to ensure that some of those critical corporate form and structural weaknesses of the kind of entity are not incorporated into the new entity. I think the issue of the changing regulatory environment, particularly in respect of the implementation of the program, for example, the VAT legislation that was changed, effectively meant that from a competitive perspective, Tuledisha would fall behind the comparative parties in the industry. Because the cost base would include a 40% premium as a result of the fact that they would not be able to claim a price of where they can cost in relationship to the input cost of construction. I think one of the others is we will be challenged by dealing with a smooth function transfer to the new development agency. A process that I have alluded to, which is being put in place. The board has set up committees which are in place and functional. The first one is the risk management and development. It oversees operational efficiency, management of risk, approved project proposals recommended by management executive for consideration. This is one of the critical structures that does deal with and contribute to the assessment of the institution's capability to succeed and sustain itself. the audit and investment committee looks at the internal audit function and as applied in terms of the corporate principles and prescriptions. The tender committee, which deals with matters of overseeing the effective procurement and supply chain management activities for the institution, and it ensures that there is compliance with the requisite legislation and its internal policies themselves. They also have in place committees that look at the remuneration and benefits of the senior managers and those board members that get some sort of allowance or remuneration in terms of their functions. Largely those that do not form part of the public sector. Then the executive management itself deals with the day-to-day running of the company. And the management and executive committee is chaired by the chief executive officer and comprised of senior management within the company that are expected to meet and in fact meet regularly according to report. The development and growth of the business in terms of the company's mission, they carry out largely all the instructions in terms of either the approved corporate plan as well as the instructions of the board. They look at external development within the market, they look at all the market opportunities within the operating mandate, they deal with general management issues concerning the running of the company, strategic management of the company, and all of those detailed issues, for example. Then they are spreading provincially, established provincial arrangements. And I think some of these things, as the institution grows, are going to be revisited to ensure that they are efficient. For example, the issue is to look at how best you cover a particular province within the challenges that have been
faced.
Oh. For a quality
No,
management deals with the day-to-day management of the company. the meeting of the management and executive committee are chaired by the CEO, largely comprised of the manager of the company, and they look at matters of I think they look at matters of implementing the business plan of the entity and the instructions of the board, which is the oversight institution. They give instructions as development and growth of the company, developing the strategy for the company, and looking at the external development that has on the company in terms of its market operations, the general management issues, such as project appraisal, approval, evaluation, and then they process some of those through the board structures when they reach that particular stage. There are also provincial management structures that are established across the harbor provinces, again arranged in the manner that recognizes the challenges that are faced, for example, around the resource, as well as control efficiency. Northern Cape Prestige, for example, continuation, then present in the Eastern Cape. Each provincial office is run by a provincial manager. Who reports to regional manager regarding the sphere that the person is in charge of. As the implementing agent, I think suggestion to move from the current sort of the status quo that was the situation for then incorporate and be able to do strategically with the changed effort that emanates from BNG. There was a need for a mindset change which will involve a complete review of the structure over time and also address the issues of the schools who are coming with the funding model that we have alluded to. These issues form the basis of discussion, the planning session, and stages that realign the organization's function from time to time. At this stage, Twitter has managed to develop and attain a core competence that would be difficult. I think use of what they have said, plus some of the new equipment to spend in the organization. The expanding workload that has been insufficient, but at times high premium on human resources, high competition for stakeholders in the industry is validated, determining the resource requirements, estimating the associated costs, and investigating the potential funding sources needed for the essential national programs. For an example, to deal with some of the challenges I've raised, for example, the bad coverage in the sector, it meant that Swedish has to look at how it deals with its conducting strategy, for example, how it deals with the issue of the handling of the flows of funds between those that they act on behalf and those that are being managed in the implementation of the programs. Chairperson, in the past year, Tuberisha embarked on a nationalization process to minimize cost for delivery. And they are dealing with the issues of an appropriate model for delivery that would optimize the agent's program and minimize the impact of some of the challenges. Through ensuring that and the structural engagement as an agency for implementation. This involves a review of all implementation plans for now in the current year, ensuring appropriate recruitment of staff for key areas only, and managing of challenges of financial resources. Equipment of all by essential resources was introduced with several plan initiatives were taken. In addition to which, I lost a number of staff. Also, I think as I indicated, as part of the issue of the staffing during the period. There are quite a few people who are acting, sometimes in machines for a certain period of time in the management structure. And these are issues that I think the board is continuously and constantly dealing with the structure. And I think the critical thing in this case, and the context for this, is that you know sooner, and I would understand the challenge of the board, no sooner you have to deal with the transition of members, ensuring that you get to a decent deliverance. And you have to also look at all of these challenges that will change this model. And then into the future, probably tourism will become part of the that means the staffing, the skills that you would be required by the agency and given by the agency. So I think you also want to be sure that at that time, all of those different areas, like the functions undertaken by the agency, are then incorporated appropriately. Appropriate challenges of the management are being identified where they should deal with some of the agencies. So personally, I think something happened, I would have wondered, I'm not sure that you had the slides or that dealt with the challenges. Thank you. I think that's all I will deal with the situation. And then I will handle the questions. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, that is what I was saying.
Thank you very much. I think the reason why it was not digested is related to our policy. Chairperson, the presentation that I've gone to is DDG, I'm sure it's known. In the committee or by the committee members. This media is Memoroka, who is the board member of Tbilisi. She has been the board member since the beginning of the institution, way back. And the Bekanti, he is the regional manager of Tbilisi, responsible for the issue. And Chairperson is leading the country on the issue. And DDG Safisa, DDG responsible for policy and department. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, I had an order from a panel group by Mr. Singh in that order, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mahmoud Laban, UG. Chairperson, let me first say a lot of words. Sometimes I feel so bad if it's going to be just on the one, because we need implementation. It seems I wonder if I'm misconstruing, you are here to tell us about the committee, how is it established your office. And you also touched on provinces that I personally went to, and there are problems, like the Eastern Cape. But what worries me is that you are not going to deliver at pace because of human capital. That's the challenge you're raising in almost slides here. And then I wonder what did you do about that? Because you have started your provincial, local, whatever, regional. But you don't say, you are not specific on those gaps that have been created by those people who have evacuated by those positions. We have this Matati and the people living in tents. Because we're talking about people and people living in areas of stress. Part of that is Matati and people living in tents. What I wonder whether there's a relationship with your department. Secondly, we have Alfred Nzo Municipality, Mount Ali is not Thai, and Mount Priya is not Thai. You talk about Nelson Mandela Municipality. So I'm much concerned about that. I want answers on that, because we don't have time frames to say in the look, not look, by whom. Time and again, we'll find the Subedisha in place, but we don't see, they're not visible. So I'm impressed about your organogram, Ishikawa diagram, that who's doing what. But on the ground, you are not there. So I think, Chairperson, we have to put our foot down, want to see Tubelisha delivering or take a decision about Tubelisha. We can't be seen as paper tigers on the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is going to be, where is the CEO? I would have liked to see the CEO yet to lead this presentation. And Chairperson, you will remember and probably agree with me that certainly over the last year, whenever we've spoken to the department or we've been to provinces, Tubelisha has been named and seen as this mighty shining armor that's going to solve the country's housing problems. This presentation certainly lacks the enthusiasm, the urgency. I'm not confident that they are that mighty shining armor based on this presentation, that's the first thing. Then I'm just going to go in terms of the presentation. My first question, there's talk here about a business plan submitted to the National Department in 2007. I would imagine this is at the beginning of the year. And yet we're sitting, this afternoon we'll be looking and appropriating an additional 23 million rand for Tubelisha. It immediately tells me that their business plan was lacking somewhat, if they couldn't determine their finances that they would require. And I'll certainly be asking the Minister a question with regard to what the additional money is for. But, Chairperson, again I'm concerned. Tubelisha's all over the shop. You look at their new mandate, they're going to be the developer of choice. They're going to be unblocking projects. They're going to be the upgrading the informal settlement. With such a very wide mandate, I'm worried that they're going to lose focus in terms of what they're actually going to do. And I think it's evident already. Mavena was talking about some of the projects over the last year which Tubelisha should have been involved in, and we didn't see them there. Then, the question, Chief, and then I may have to break them up into two rounds. They're going to act as lead developers and implementers. Can somebody tell me what exactly are they going to do? Are they going to project manage projects, or are they going to both project manage and be the developer, the contractor, or are they just going to appoint other contractors? Then the board of directors was appointed in June 2007. The Tubelisha's mandate was changed in June 2006. Why did it take 1 year to get the board of directors into place? One more question, Chair, and I'll wait for a second round. I'm concerned about the skill shortage. There's huge infrastructure projects on the go, and then everybody is clamoring for skills. Can somebody tell me what percentage of the previous Tubelisha staff have been retained, and how many of those that have left are currently acting as consultants, and just overall, what is the percentage of consultants being used by Tubelisha today? Thank you, Chief.
I think those questions are sufficient for the response, and then I'll go for another round of questions.
Thank you, Sir.
We will share the response. Certainly, I think that's what you want to say something and maybe to the proper thing after I finish. Thank you. I think the maybe let me start with this in order to move to the first question. The response to the business plan that was submitted.
Sorry,
Yes.
May I ask a simple question? Here we're talking about Tubelisha, which is the national entity.
Yes.
Which, according to the presentation, operates in provinces.
Yes.
We are meeting here with the board. There is a person from the board, which is very important, chairperson of the board. Yeah, I recommend to from the N2 gateway, which are here, because N2 gateway is critical for the regional manager of the working team. What about other problems? Because we're going to have a situation where we engage with the DDG and the DG. But the very same discussion one from the village are not here. So you go back to the department, and the department must synthesize and delegate. And the department, they won't, I mean, the people are supposed to be on the ground, hands-on. They're not listening to this deliberation we're talking about. You see, I think the dilemma that we're facing here is unfolding up to the vision for this new mandate. But at the same time, we're not seeing ourselves as a committee with animal law. What you do. The same civilization, the same civilization, but in a new mandate. So we, I think what we wanted in the committee is to see the civilization. That's what it's about. So that in terms of provinces, we say these are the program of civilization in the ECMG. Civilization is dealing with this municipality, dealing with that municipality on this program. Because you said
the ECMG is the only one. So now, as mayor, I've chosen the most significant and the
visible
one. But I think the members of the disciplines can outline some of the issues. If we were to go to that state. Yes. Chairperson, I think that the Chairperson did submit especially a corporate plan while we were dealing with the budget process in the National Department. It was during 2006, middle of the year, which was an indication of what they would require if they were to continue their challenges. And I think it provides for various scenarios, and I think they are punishing some of them. I think their requirement was a need for quite some substantial amounts of money. They particularly because at this early stage they were looking at what would be the best case, and then they had to then look at a very reasonable arrangement of how facing those. But I think that the PNM of that process is that we then used part of the submissions that we did for the bidding process. There were critical things about the extent to which you have to, what is provided for can be sustained on the basis of looking at whether the option is the best scenario in the that is available. And that is a discussion continuously taking place with the Tubanese, because there's an issue of cost benefit and what would be the added value of having to do. So that debate continues. But I'll come back to the practical issue of the budget. Then, in the engagement of the Treasury, most of that budget requirement was met. And there was a need for us to look at how we can rigorously reallocate funds for the tribulation. Initially, we were able to do so immediately, but we needed to engage on outstanding issues in the air. And we then, but we were expected to do some internal study identification that would be part of the ENE, but we still thought to meet there so that we can be able to limit and understand what the costs are and the costs that situation will be. And that is what we appropriated as adjustment from state that would have been that identified well before the start of the year for creation. That deals with the issue of funding. We have also gone back again to seek additional funding. That process is still underway, not yet concluded. But I think the important thing was for us to agree with the kind of model that would allow Tunisia to be self-funding, at least to operate on the basis, on an equal footing and basis, as would have been the situation if we are hiring from the private sector, so that we can add the efficiencies. Otherwise, the ultimate
as to which one is the most good. What way would be the benefits, the added values that Treasury provides would be defeated. And I think if you look at the budget, Treasuries are pushing pressure for us to try to achieve that as soon as that means. The more the relationship is such that we can realize the delivery within the resources that are available. And that is the challenge that we both handling with Tubelish as look at their model for delivery. So in a way, here with some of the current strategies, there is a multi-pronged strategy using what is available and also conducting appropriately. The difficult thing is that Tubelish gives us an advantage of managing the project level, including the capacity that doesn't exist in those areas and provinces where they're implementing them. And like the situation where we're dealing with, which we were following with the high tidings, they would like that everything is recovered eventually from when the current resources are available. So the remuneration must be within the money available. And therefore, it is that will force all but including the relation to ensure that there is efficient in the process. But the percentages, if the figures are available, I'll ask my colleagues to indicate those. The comment Chairperson has made and the question you've asked is important enough. I'm sure for today it was a question of logistics. But I think in future engagements it may well be that Tubelish would bring the variable as they would have implemented around the cover of all provinces. Because I think from what I gather you actually would have been interested in a committee to see and be able to have people who will answer questions that relate to the implementation account. And I think my colleagues will note that I think the decision and the critical issues raised by the committee will certainly be noted ourselves and we'll take them up with the institution, but the board, some of the board members and some of the management team members present here will also ensure that the information is communicated to the lowest level. Chair, the question asked about the variety, the spread of the number of activities to insurance and PhD, yes, is one of the critical choices of strategy that to insurance. So, I think the mandate covers those things that are critical to the value of the program. The gap and the choices will relate to, and this is one of the things that makes Tubelish slightly divide the person character from the father, is that Tubelish will play a best role where in areas where nobody wants to. Some of the processes of unblocking the project, some projects in some of the areas in some of the provinces have proved to be challenging. I was told by operational managers and tools that in fact in some of the cases and in some of the projects themselves that in some of the global ones because the projects are so scared sometimes they can make economic sense, etc. And provinces they even opportunity to squeeze from the lowest cost possible to facilitate some of those projects and with the money that would have been available. And that's probably from my perspective there. The difference between what you get, what we want to derive as a value from Tubelish and not just any other one. So I think it's proper for Tubelish to have all of the opportunity to act in those, but the choice is to be defined in the strategy. They have to make a choice based on the mandate that they have, on where they play a role in particular, in respect of one, and where they play less role in compared to everybody. And that also would be configured around the strong provinces where they participate. But I would probably invite the members to also make a copy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
thank you very much. I think there are other questions, but my colleague has an explanation. Maybe she will come if you are here.
If you want to answer on the table. We should bear in mind that Chube Nisha, we are looking at probably mentioning the mega, the project. However, Chube Nisha does operate provincial as everywhere. We have various projects in Gauteng as a province. And in fact, what has happened is that in the past, you see the northwest side of Gauteng that belongs to the northwest, but was practically in trouble. So we have been there to unblock a whole lot of projects. That's where we think that those Haman Kral and those other areas geographically were in Gauteng. But in terms of them, actually, were in the northwest. So we have projects besides those we have in the northwest as well. However, I think what we highlighted here are the mega projects which we want to engage ourselves or have been engaged in. We're talking here about Nambula, Elementary Gateway. We have again taken on another mega project in Limpopo, around an area which is called Elisunamsile Phalale. And therefore, we may not be seen to be visible, but we are in existence. The only thing is that in some provinces, because there aren't any mega projects, like for instance, we're talking Zanyambula, we're also talking in East London, one of the other big projects that will be coming up with in the beginning of the new fiscal year 2008-2009. We have already contracted and we have signed a contract as well with the Pathology Council. Obviously, our projects are reliant on the province being proactive to engage with us, to bring us on. So some projects were taken on by bigger developers. In Gauteng, we can never hope or probably to have another project because while they have what's called no city, it was already in the hands of private at the time that Chube Nisha became what it is today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. So I think the question of human capital is in rate, and we raised this throughout organization, precisely because we feel it's necessary that we should draw the attention of the honorable members that the issue of human capital in the built environment is becoming critical. We sometimes watch to sound alarm, but those who are at the core phase of the implementation do feel the strategy. Now, yes, there are three of us who are sort of experienced, who tend to go to better projects. I can imagine, Chairperson, if we take a project manager and say that go and work with Venetia in the Limpopo to unblock projects. Now, the book then, Chairperson, I would like to suggest that perhaps we should ask really allowed to the book value of Chube Nisha. In the last meeting had with Chube Nisha, the book value they have of projects across the country is such that it actually makes financial institution to feel envious. But the truth of the matter is that as Mr. Zabandu was saying, in 10 projects, 5,000 houses in a particular province, but two are somewhere 5 kilometers, and others that are all scattered. Now it really becomes very difficult for mobile technical people really to be wanting to begin that, so rather go in a more an area and work there for this big company. So the human capital is an issue. It's an issue that we are addressing. Obviously, we did bring the committee about provinces. So we applied the same strategy in the distribution. For this mega project, like I said, the N2, the new adding your interface. First and foremost, we have seconded senior staff members from my department, EDG, led by EDG, into the nation. We have sitting, we have appointed other people who are skilled with the nation on the end to tenants, the groups of engineering background and so on, to try to help Venetia to realize this augmented identity as well. So it's the same the case in the level. Our focus is build capacity around mega projects. So that is really our focus. And so that then other the people can then be used to help provinces to unblock this projects that are all over the country. We are in the issue of the human capital. The issue about people who live in areas of stress is a matter that the minister has been raising. Unfortunately, Chairperson, we have not been able to secure have funds except to locate that within the grant itself. Now, it is a set of provinces to attend to this matter using the grant and efforts to draw in to the initiative. There has been some challenges where, for instance, some provinces will say, or municipalities will say, no, we don't want to use this emergency funding or use portion of it for the grant of emergency funding. We have to put that it be done because of the conditions under which people found themselves in. But obviously, in terms that have been identified by the honorable member, we would follow it and make sure that the EU province make money available to help people of Hesha to raise up in their community. And I think I'll take it upon myself to provide at least TRA in the meantime, if there aren't plans available to construction, we will attend that matter. The visibility of the institution has been raised, and lastly, as we said, provinces can give to make sure those an inviting project that the business has been. Mr. Davani spoke about the issues of funding and the basic implications as well as the financial burden. Now, part of the people that we have in Java, again, led by BDG Benisha, into Benisha, are looking to America and for I'm a Java leadership person to indicate that to Benisha, as it is, we will function that augment that legend as it were, that they have. We must also look at it as an institution in particular. Because at a higher level, we are looking at the situation where we are going to reduce institutions in the housing portfolio. And therefore, to Venetia is going to be part of the new, that is the personnel. We are going to be to Venetia. There is going to be personnel, the skills that are there, but it's going to be subsumed by the new institution, you know, those critical functions that we have identified. So, any capacity that we build is a true parallel process. We build it in anticipation that there will be a new institution, housing development agency. So we build this capacity now to deal with this matter, but we have a long-term view as to how this will unfold as the institution comes into being. I thought I'd just to indicate that point because it's critical. As I said to earlier on, the concerted effort of the capacity creating enough human capacity for Tubenish is around the project that we think we need to make impact. The So yes, the issue about the board, maybe I should attend to that. There were challenges, Chairperson, in the previous board. Members of the board resigned, I think finally, may not be correct in terms of February. And I think challenges had to do with the new members, and had to do with the need for paradigm shift. Do things correctly, to say that BNG Retirement needs institutions that will respond to make management as part of the housing assembly. So there were some issues. And of course, that actually impacted negative expenditure. And while there was that impact for about 6 months, the CEO of Tubelisha then resigned and joined a financial institution, and he went a large number of officials, or several number of officials, key officials. So that meant that we definitely needed to, you know, there was a bit of a privilege. I wouldn't say it's a crisis, but there was a challenge. So we had to step in many ways to try to solve this situation. The new board, as it is, is composed of individuals who are quite competent and knowledgeable about how the social housing. And we have been working in the housing environment, and they are trying by all means to try to reshape Tubelisha. They are mindful of the fact that whatever that is done, it must actually project the future, because there is a future that we are looking at for the housing development agency going forward. Thank you.
So, yes,
Mamunga,
I
Why do we keep on giving Tubelisha money? That is adding to the money that they have. We have had this complete situation all over where we have been, but still trying as if it's an old command that we're mending, trying to make it new. Why must we do that? Why must people suffer because of Tubelisha?
I wanted to also to emphasize that fact that this presentation is more based on the challenges that you presented to us today. And what DJ has explained is how people left, because it was going through my first question. And any success in recruiting new people, what is the assurance that those people are going to be recruited and to maybe bring a new face to the visa in delivering their mandate? Now, I was going to say maybe that you could respond to that question, and rather to say that she says that there's a process which needs to be supervised. Ironically, the new agency that is going to be developed would replace maybe Tubelisha. Why are we proceeding? Why are we proceeding with Tubelisha? Is there any other proposal that the committee can come out with just to address these other challenges? And the other last question is the success of, based on the challenges that you've mentioned, is there any type of the challenges that you've mentioned? You've mentioned so many challenges, and you've never said whether you succeeded in one or two challenges that you have, that you've mentioned. There's nothing mentioned in that, so maybe
Thank you.
Thank
you. Just to follow up on what Marika said, the DG mentioned the anticipation of the new institution, that we're building up resources, etc. Well, I've got news for the DG. The new institution is Tubelisha. That's what the minister says we believe. So it's not any anticipation, it's here and now in the ecosystem. Then the concern I've got is mentioned our earlier visit in the Eastern Cape, Matatuela, Long, Philip, etc. Those people living in Kent have been living there for more than a year. And now the DG tells us that he will look into it. Do once again there's a problem with monitoring.
that they don't follow up on the regular emergency funds in the system, okay, for exactly this particular vehicle. The issue with the VET, the problem with the VET, that was raised in this committee at our public hearings 2 years ago, and it still appears today. Surely we need to get past this, that with the VET now. Then in terms of the senior management meets regularly. So somebody just tell me how often do they meet? Because they're both an executive as well as an instrument committee. So they would have to manage on a day-by-day basis, if I can see. Then the provinces, there's eight opposite provinces, which provinces does not have an office. And with circumstances, we say, satellite offices have been set up in many cases and case area. Just that, expand on what sort of incentives would you take where you have a satellite office. Chair, just one last question, or two questions. There was several planned initiatives with the panel. Could you have an indication what they were, how important they are? And I think the question that has not been mentioned or answered was, members of staff that have left for whatever reason, are they being employed as consultants now, on a consultancy basis? And Chair, I don't recall us giving an annual report for 206 children from the division. Is there such a report being submitted to you?
Chairperson, my note, I'm still requesting that we must have time frames, because we can see in September, then we'll come back to Australia, then we've got new portfolio committee, so we told the same thing, the same thing. We need time frame, DG.
Correct, Chairman. Sir, you're sorry, please, your language.
Report. Thank you. But I'm worried, Chairperson, I'm worried about repetition. We claim we're training students, and I don't see them being absorbed in the system. Why don't we use them every time for those gaps that have been left in, particularly in the areas where they don't want to go to, because the Palale will do some whole Pabushima planting. I think they'll enjoy that because they are new and can they learn. So why don't we use those? Because our deputy president wears the gypsum as Jesus now in the past. So we have to be proactive on those changes.
Shall we
take
that one of the challenges members are saying it's a new challenge, but I think it's a good way, because there is a certain kind of context within which we find ourselves in the situation. I think it would be appropriate to point it out that there was a very serious resistance by staffers of the Tubenisha administration on the mandate. And I think from what I because I interacted with them from the they actually made things to be very difficult. Not only women in the but also to try to build what I just for instance, Chairperson. Members will recall that in the presidency there is a rigid criteria in some of these countries, which the register must be accepted. And some of those guys that people really need to get inspiration and it is until recently that when the industry has to go and make sure this happens, that begins to be improved. So I'm saying that there has been a resistance. I'm glad that the new board is taking this matter very strongly. So the reason why we found repeating ourselves year in, year out, have you not bold enough to confide to the committee that they have to see. And obviously where you have a board and where there's media around it, where your influence will be the company limited. You really have to massage the process. And by the time you get to the point of the taking too long. But I'm saying that one of the strategic interventions would be to go to use the database in the opinion of the president of this graduate we want them to be paired with the existing people who are there, knowledgeable, just to work to help us so that this one can actually provide addition. So those are some of the strategic interventions that we are carrying with, which we long proposed, but they were never taken up. And we could not do much of them. So I think it's important that one should say that. Chapter 38, I agree, time frames are critical. Obviously, in terms of success, in relation to the mega projects and the M2, and Banyamula, there's an added capacity that is built around the nation. We emphasize that the minister should not necessarily hire people because they're very expensive. It is better to buy kit, use it on project base. And those who are willing to come and work full time for Tubenisha, they should do so. But I think because of the mobility, and that is an intervention that is necessary, that must be that it's one of the responsibilities of the Tubenisha and who is all with Tubenisha. So the managing from authorities for the M2 will improve even further my intervention on the Banyamula in terms of making sure necessary skills also are in place way long in advance. So there is this mega project, and I want to emphasize the issue of the mega project because for us they are bigger. And not that the scattered projects are not, but in terms of the priority, the mega projects are, and therefore that's important. So also I thought I needed to also emphasize that. Yeah, the question has been raised, why should we initiate I think at the time when men took a revolution to remandate, to request the minister to remandate to Benisha, there was adequate capacity at that stage. I want to believe that there was adequate capacity. Ironically, I was part of the teacher, but I was on the other side. So, but there was adequate capacity at the time. And that capacity and again, because of the first excellent mandate to address block project, and nobody wanted to do block project because sometimes they were not profitable, because what improved our policy to make them to really the current subsidy amount in given year be used for a block project. So nobody wanted to do that. And the question was, why do we use government to help us cause this favor? Because nobody wants to do that. So with the capacity that they had, the assumption that the thing was that it was going to be to the best interest of the provinces to do so. There have been successes, particularly around the block point. Although they run slowly because the manner in which they are, but there are successes to Benisha has and can say. There are also successes, there are challenges, but there are also successes on Hindu, so to Benisha is important. The issue of about that, I think, because about you may want to explain further. The reason why we're repeating is that we keep on writing psalms and writing equations. But if that matter is not attended, when the Sheikh has finished the question is one company, it is then you put this way to one option would be then why don't you give this, for instance, to the private sector? Our experience thus far is that nobody is successful. So it is really catch 22. And to the extent that if this is not finished, the Tubenisha will part be subsidizing the province. This is my basic arithmetic. So we will continue to raise this. And of course, if it is within the sphere of influence of this honorable committee, it may very well be that is just that it be posed as well by members of the committee. I think
members can speak. GDRD, this is a long-term question. There was a question from the honorable Spain again.
and why is this office like on why a office? There was no need to establish an office both in the Cape State and in the Northern Cape by just virtue of proximity of the one program to the other. So the two are sharing an office. Therefore, we do have satellite offices in all the provinces. There was also a question, and I think it also came again from the Honourable Member saying about the order of the people who left Servcon. Fortunately for us, we tend to confuse it. Fortunately for us, other people who left Tubelisha went and joined the same financial mission. So they did not come back as consultants in Tubelisha. They are now full-time employees elsewhere in a financial mission. So yes, whilst we have ever often a need to use consultants, we are not using any of those people. So these were sort of the two questions that I believe have been omitted even in the first round. Thank you.
Chair, as one of the operational managers of Tubelisha, I can then emphatically say that we have not failed any of the provinces where we are delivering. We are meeting our targets. Where we experience failure is where we don't meet targets in terms of honoring the payment. With the Mount Frere issue and Mount Davis, the board is not as well as to be shut down. The board rests with province. We are busy trying to sort out the province is in a way of sorting out your own. But I can just assure you that we are in Mount Frere, we are ready to the project, but the board is not in our course. Did confirm by provincial officials in the extended. In my ear, we are trying to start waiting, but there are these policies in Manila to Hutong, where he is not sure whether it is the same Cape province or the Empate. We understand where we are presently, but we still have those, but Tubelisha is ready to start wherever. In whichever area. We are also engaging with all the municipalities in the Eastern Cape who that believe in Tubelisha, they have given Tubelisha work. Mutara, that is in the Oa, Tambodos municipality, and other, we are present in Tubelisha. So I would say we've got a good job in Tambodos municipality. But where Tubelisha is not present, people have a tendency of pointing at us. But I would say we are really doing our work. Even in the Western Cape, we have projects that have been given by the province, and we are delivering, meeting our targets. And I do not know where have we failed, and we are saying why Tubelisha, why Tubelisha is failing. On the good, this is correct to say, yes, we do have challenges. When the three of you all left, you left with some of the staff that were making Tubelisha group. You went to join the finance company, and we are really recruiting. We do have qualified staff that have joined Tubelisha, even on the N2 and other projects. And I think we're doing our best to meet our targets. As senior management of Tubelisha, we do meet monthly, where we sit and look at the delivery patterns in each and every province. And I can rest assured there's no problem that Tubelisha is failing us at all. Training of the students, yes, DJ about this. We are trying to employ temporary students or HEMS, HEM operation project managers who will come, and really push our call. Therefore, that's the least DJ I could add, but really we are doing well on the ground. That's the DJ have said, we meet monthly as the manager of the Tubelisha with all the regional managers.
Project and personal
manager. Thank you.
this committee would be the possibility if we're happy with what's happening with us. And I think what happens to say to the department, this is an entity that should be on a new money. And it's critical that as we shift lots of funding to Tbilisi, this government has value for money. What he's saying here and others is what the DD is saying. When he said that when the new money emanated from the department to Tbilisi, some of the senior officials of Tbilisi left Tbilisi. That is the reality. And if that is the challenge, we have to grapple with the fact that human is putting together the system to ensure that at the end of the day, we retain some of the critical skills in Tbilisi, that is new recruitment, to grapple with that. That we accept. And that kind of assessment helps us understand the frustration that we are facing in Tbilisi. Because when we visited Tbilisi as an entity, as this woman, we knew what we were dealing with. And we knew what to expect from them, we knew what we got from them. But given then the challenge, it's something that is a committee we have to ponder on and understand the response. But there is some disagreement between myself and the state on the issue of the new entity. This new housing organization is coming up. When the department is saying that the Tbilisi Housing Trust is hand over to the other agencies, you yourself passed that legislation of the new agency. And I'm sure that's what everybody's talking about. Is that the one? Mm-hmm. Apart from what we have, the new agency. The inclusion.
The candidates approved that, I think, it will be to the committee. But obviously, it's not a good Section 32 company, which will have much some powers. It is modeled on the lines of National Road Agency, South African Road Agency. We are very effective to be lean, and it is not going to be purely from a corporate form, but also the business case that has been developed. And I'm sure Chairperson, as soon as the date is presented before the committee, will also do so in this case, because we think and we are convinced that is the best route to go. I'm not talking about that agency now, but
I think I'll just about saying that. I think we should choose as a committee to give them an opportunity to ponder on the legislation, so that we apply our minds in terms of what we expect, so that we are as power within of thinking. At the moment, you are coming up with a completely new animal.
The light.
Okay, come on. Let's stay over to you, sir.
Thank you. Just response to this last the question you raised. Does this fact mean, and maybe I'm not anticipating, that whatever you're doing in Tbilisi is going to be dissolved, and or will they be absorbed into this new? I mean, are we going to start all over in a year's time with something very similar to what Tbilisi has started a year ago already?
I said that this is a parallel process. We have placed before cabinet after the minister's announcement last year in this honorable house that we will establish a national housing development agency, which will, among others, have key functions of land but also of development. Now, the development component of the project is actually the function that Tbilisi is doing. The process is such that when the cabinet has approved this, we correct to talk about it, but I'm sure it can be the committee. And we are eagerly awaiting that, because we think it must have necessary power even to help where we have bottlenecks. It must zoom in. But we'll discuss that and present that to the committee. We're quite excited about it, because we think that's the way to go to help the issues of capacity. But Chairperson, the capacity that we are building in Tbilisi is the capacity that will be taken. Now, at that stage, Venetia and Section 21 company will dissolve according to company facts. But then that capacity that is in Venetia that we're building, with those functions of project management and so on, then we are subsumed or assumed by this new entity as a function within the entity.
Come back to what Mr. Sandy was saying in Cafe, that they're going to recruit temporary project agents. What does that mean? Because project management, and you need somebody's expertise, can do temporary. But you can recruit temps to understand, so that they understand it by the project manager, but not to give a project to a temporary manager. That would be. I'm sure you are saying that people will understand the project management.
Well, I think it meant it to be employed on project base, the one I explained. If you have the Nembula, it's better to buy a team around that project so that you have a focus. And those who want to work with the company will then be employed with the company. But sometimes, Jefferson, if you have a company that is spread, sometimes the cost of taking individuals from Gauteng to Cape Town to work in Gauteng is evident to be quite exorbitant. Then it is better to stay around the project one X number of people, then they are focused on project based, I think, but the image.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Just for my record, let me put it that way. Where did this project in the new Vula start? Can I just look at it?
No.
Maybe just a comment. I go to the response of the gentleman, the regional. It's unfortunate that during the presentation, what you are mentioning is not here. That is why sometimes we are asking questions because it's not part of the presentation. So you will understand that sometimes, you know, you will be frustrated that you are asking a question when people have an answer, and yet it's not in the presentation. So you, pardon us if we have some other questions. Just a comment.
The regular project, it started some time ago, actually, and it was a responsibility of the city and the province. We worked closely with the province, with it, to help, because the truth of the matter, as I was told, Chairperson, is that people in that area, they need to go well. And when it rains, it really floods. We need a rubber duck to prepare the video with two plants. So it simply means that it's really submerged. The minister then felt necessary that she must interact with the problem. So that we take the project out of the city and we give it a national status, so that we are able to ask for additional funding, because already with the provincial allocation and the pace of delivery there were some challenges, including the low dynamics in that area. So it was the minister that we needed to do that. We had engagement with the MEC and so forth, then there was agreement that this will become a second national project. And on the basis of that, a memorandum of understanding was entered between this first government with Tunisia, but some work had already begun on the project under the leadership of the municipality. But as I said, the city had business problems. I'm sure honorable members, you are aware that some officials were in the city, so that had negative impact on the project. The Tibetisha has started with there. Now, in the nature of things, they are actually taking different food stewards. But then we have worked out mechanisms to make sure that necessary capacity is in place, but also quality control from our side. In short, there are officials led by Major Bias who are issued there to make sure that they do oversight for the project on regular basis. This is about 6 months ago, I think, or 11 months around there, when the memorandum of understanding was finally signed with his first of government administration.
May we know who is the CEO of Tusha? One. Secondly, where is the Tshubelisha project? Where is Tshubelisha? Where is this animal based college? Now that those buildings that we used to Tshubelisha, those people there moved out. Are you still retaining those offices? Where are you?
I'm going to this when the buildings that we visited, yes, the head office moved out of that building. However, they were then retained as the Caldean satellite office. The head office of Tshubelisha is based in Caldean, an area called Shilani, not very far from an off-ramp from the highway, the Riviera Road off-ramp. That's directly opposite the Shilani Mall. That is the head. And the move was really expedited the fact that we now had to have statistics for the provinces. And in order to divorce duty from head office to localize every province we have made out of that building, but it is still retained, however, I don't think, specialized office. The process of appointing a CEO is now underway, and obvious as the DG has said, you know, those who come at an exorbitant price, we are still trying to find the right person and the right price that we can afford. Obviously, we are not going to take somebody who is not going to deliver on this very day. We have currently acquired a headhunting organization, and that process started at the beginning of this month, from the 1st of November. We hope we shall have somebody, because on a weekly basis we do see the sort of problems with the selected team. You know, the D10 and sort of would give us to look at and talk to. We hope this process will take 4 weeks. After 4 weeks, we'll obviously make a recommendation to the department of those people that we believe may fit the requisites, the prerequisites that we can go for today.
Yes, thanks, Chair and Mario. Sincere apologies for arriving late. I trust you got the message. But just based on the law, Chair, I'm just looking at the presentation where it actually talks about the fact that the management and executive committee are chaired by the CEO. Now, if there's no CEO, then who does that? They're an acting CEO. Okay. No, thanks, Jeff. Who's the acting CEO?
The acting CEO is the current chairperson of the region. Salome Sengani. She is the CEO. In a way, there was an arrangement and an agreement between the department and the minister for the NHSB to release her every once or twice a week to be at the office of the minister. But it's a temporary arrangement, so in a way, there is an acting CEO.
She's been remunerated for a job. She's acting, so I must pay for what I'm doing. I'm asking, sir.
To our knowledge, not as an acting CEO. She's on a secondment, so she still gets her salary from the NHS. So she is not acting in the sense of having left her job and doing something else. So she is not being remunerated by Tshubelisha, except for maybe attending meetings, but as an acting person within the EO portfolio, she is not remunerated.
Can we express our debate? That's such an important issue that is the EO. Because you do not have funding of government in the hands of people who are asking forever. But here is the funding that we vote in that parliament for tuition. Because if we're the CEO, we have a different organogram. So we are taking that very seriously. And we hope that when we meet next year, we're not going to be talking about acting as CEO. It's not accessible. We have shifted lots of funding last year to tuition. And in that is the highlight of urgently getting a CEO to the issue. So at the end of the day, we're not going to be changing the state. So it's critical, and we would just want to did you please exercise today the CEO to the issue. We needed it yesterday. We needed him or her yesterday. Members, you want to say?
Chair, maybe before you show, the last question which was actually very important to me is the issue of the relationship between Odisha and province. I don't know whether it's one province or provinces where they say that they have problems of maybe payments or submissions. How is it going to be addressed? Even when you are staff, it means that you are still going to have that problem with them. What mechanism being put in place to address that? Because this is a challenge, even if you can have staff or people working in that area, can be something and there's no one to do something.
Thank you, Chair. There has been problems within the Department of Health and Community. Now there is a new head of department, and we have taken this next beforehand, and they are saying that we are trying now to solve most of the problematic, and they should be able to make a good effort in our life.
Members, I was going to put you to say, I think we should allow the department and data to go back with a proviso that they do their homework. So that when we come back here, we're going to be. We are told of the detailed work of what it does in Tanzania, all these other parts. And if we want to come back again here, with people in Matadier, they're still living in Tanzania. I don't know what the argument is, whether it's the province responsible or whoever is responsible, because we are having in ourselves politicians as well as people can implement and find solutions. We're fortunate that if the DDG was part of us, it's been those trees. So by now, when we come there, it should be resolved. It has been resolved. And anything to think it wasn't us. So there's no excuse now. You have anything? You have DDG? You have to believe that time solution. Let's come here this time, let's get into the definition. So that's been provided for the people that have been in the tent for more than 2 years. We want to thank you for coming before us, and if members agree with me, it's a relief. But at the same time, those highlights should have been dealt with when we come. Let's give this chance to make a moment.
Can I come for the ticket?
Okay.
I just want to wish to Belisha good luck with the new minister. To make them aware that some of the new menus are very to our hearts. Really. And if you don't really, if you don't do them, because we are monitoring them every now and then. I wouldn't mind to drive from Montago and monitor in Acadian and Mount Bray and one, just because those approaches are very new. So if you want to be good books with us,
so I think, I think we really want to apologize. I think we might have understood the impact of the issue. We also talk about the structure of the issue. Again, hence I said, Chairperson, that perhaps this committee is interested in getting the book value and the project that the issue has. That can be made available. I think that is that was just a misunderstanding. But I will improve.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We will meet tomorrow at 11:00 and this is the AAB.